Okay, we'd like to call this meeting of the Board of Education to order at 7 o'clock. We return from closed session where we've talked about public employee discipline, dismissal, release, and transfer, as well as conference with our labor negotiations concerning the California School Employees Association as well as the Teachers Association of West Covina. We will have an invocation. Is there anyone in the public that would like to offer an invocation? Then we'll have an invocation read by Ms. Miranda Jimenez. Then we'll have a flag salute led by Ms. Shoemaker. Please stand.
This is from the Optimist Creed, from the Optimist International, and the title of the poem is Promise Yourself. Promise yourself to be strong so that nothing can disturb your peace of mind, to talk health, happiness, and prosperity to every person you meet, to make all your friends feel like there is something in them, to look at the sunny side of everything and make your optimism come true, to think only of the best, to work only for the best, and expect only the best, to be just as enthusiastic about the success of others as you are about your own, to forget the mistakes of the past and press on to greater achievements in the future, to wear a cheerful countenance at all times and give every living person you meet a smile, to give so much time to the improvement of yourself that you have no time to criticize others, to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, and too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble.
Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Here.
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 Okay, we have no action to report out from closed session. We're on item number six, presentations, Merced and Vine. Ms. Casile.
Okay. We are here tonight to celebrate our very new recognition. As you all know, our school district every year is fortunate to have nothing but excellence and people recognize. And this night is especially honoring because we have two of our elementary schools who have been recognized as California Distinguished School. Please give a round of applause to Merced and Vine. And we will have group pictures, so when he comes up, yeah, let's do them by school and then all together. So, Merced, come forward.
Yay! Huh?
Oscar, come up. Great job. Thank you.
Fine,
come on up.
Everyone.
The five districts within city limits.
Oh yeah, because there's a small little tail.
Again, you know the high school slogan is, you know, about being scholars and champions, and that starts at the elementary level here in West Virginia Unified, and of course finds a shining example of that. So on behalf of the board and the people that you represent, I want to thank you very much for having us on behalf of the kids here, all of you.
Thank you.
There is some refreshment out there, and we'd like to take 5 minutes so that everyone can congratulate Merced and Vine on your accomplishments. So we'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll reconvene the board meeting. Oh, we'd like to call this meeting back to order, please. It's 7:18 p.m. We're on item number 7, and a public hearing is hereby declared open at 7:16 p.m. for the purpose of hearing testimony regarding the initial proposals for the 2009-2010 from the California School Employees Association, Chapter 91. Is there anyone that wishes to address us during the public hearing? No, this is the public hearing on the item on the sunshine of the proposal. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing at 7:17 p.m. Hearing session, Board of Education report. Cammy?
I was able to go to a couple open houses. It's always great to see how much work goes in and how excited the families are to see what their students have been doing. And on Sunday, I went to the Information Fair and Festival, and it was a pleasant surprise to see a lot of families from West Covina Unified there getting resources. And hearing the great feedback about what's happening in our special education. So I want to thank all of the teachers, and right now in particular the special education teachers, for making it possible for so many students to being able to access the core curriculum, because that was the number one comment that they were making, that they were actually they had access to the core curriculum. So thank you to all teachers, and then especially the special ed right now. Thank you.
Steve?
Yeah. I had an opportunity to attend the West Covina High School open house. I was very pleasantly pleased, to see how much attendance there was there, support, excitement, all kinds of things going on at the high school. And then I also had an opportunity this last weekend to attend the San Gabriel Valley Track and Field Invitational at West Covina High School. And Ruben, several years ago when we started planning this thing, we had hopes of, you know, attracting these kinds of events, and it was a tremendous. We had over 30 high schools represented from throughout the San Gabriel Valley at our facility here in West Covina, and the field and the track were in fabulous condition. The throw areas got cleaned up and looked really nice, and was quite proud of the fact that we were able to do that. Got a lot of good compliments out of the field. So thanks.
Eileen?
Yes, a lot of great things. Very busy month for me. I want to first of all compliment, I know he's not here, but Mr. Travatori did an excellent job at the IB Info that I attended at San Jose Edison. Great information, great questions from the parents, really good presentation, shied away from no tough question that came his way. I also attended the San Jose Edison Academy open house. I did master's in governance training in San Jose, which was excellent. Those two sessions, I went to West Cove's open house, and they had a great book fair. It was very, very well attended. So was Walnut Grove, and it was really good to see the IB Info table, getting a lot of information, a lot of attention. And I also had the chance to represent our district over in Chicago at the National School Board Association, so I made a lot of national contacts over there with great ideas that I'll sit with the superintendent to go over some of the great ideas that I saw. So it was excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Shoemaker?
I also have attended just about all of the open houses. There was one I wasn't able to attend, and that was Edison, because I had a conflicting board meeting. But as usual, our schools had wonderful open houses. Some schools are aware when I'm there, some aren't, and that's always a lot of fun when I can just sneak through the classrooms. I was impressed with the high school again this year. They decided to sort of bring back the whole carnival that used to happen, and I say this because we have a student rep from the high school, so please pass on from the entire board how wonderful we thought the open house was there. And that's not to say everybody else wasn't wonderful, but we have a student sitting here who can transmit that to the school. I met with the superintendent and Ms. Valentine and Mr. Frutos, along with the superintendent of East San Gabriel Valley ROP and the board president of the East San Gabriel Valley ROP, to discuss how the ROP going forward can best serve the district. And I thought it was a very useful meeting. The impression that I took from that was everybody's willing and able to provide programs that will benefit both of us. And we seem to really be on the same page. There's a lot of districts involved with the ROP who are not in the financial position we're in, so it was very important to us to make sure moving forward that our district is taken care of and our services aren't impacted by that. I have a board meeting with the ROP on Thursday, so again, any board members who would like me to pass on any information or any thoughts on what you would like to see the ROP do for the school district moving forward, I'm open to listening. Thank you.
Sure, Representative?
Well, a lot of things going on still academically at West Covina. First of all, I want to thank everyone for attending the open house. It was a very successful event for our students and a fun one. And so this week we began the state testing, and so today was our math portion, and so it was a pretty rigorous week. Also, AP testing starts next Monday. So very busy month academically. Tonight, we also are hosting an AP night, information night for all our parents. So it's a very busy night for our students and parents tonight. I just came from there. And also, just to give you a little more information, we have over 600 tests being administered, not counting the students, but that's just the total of tests being administered. So that's a good number. And in our fine arts, our choir came back from Las Vegas with a first place, so we're pretty excited for that. Our drumline also ran champions this weekend at their ADLA championship, so they're first place too in their league. And our drama took first place in two of their scenes at Long Beach, at Cal State Long Beach, so they're pretty successful in that too. And also, as Mr. Cox mentioned, we had our track invitational. It was a success. We actually have one of the fastest, fifth in the nation, one of our sprinters. He holds the record time. He's the fifth in the nation runs. I'm not sure if it's the 100 meter or I think it's the 100 meter, but he is fifth in the nation, so that's pretty exciting for our track program. And our golf team is also going to the championships this week. So a lot going on at West Covina High School. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, we're on items from the floor, public comment. We ask that not more than 5 minutes be allotted for every speaker and no more than 20 minutes on the same subject. So please try to focus on that if you can. And we'll start with Stephanie.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Broviak. It's just a brief question regarding the California, West Cove deal. And I know that back in the January 26 minutes, it mentioned there would be 11 temporary certificated teachers released at the end of the school year. But I'm wondering if any of these teachers are due to the impact of the combination of the two schools. Are there going to be a lot of teachers, you know, that will be, whose jobs will be impacted by this. I can understand if the reason is test scores and the students and what have you, but I'm kind of concerned about the teachers' jobs. So I would just, you know, kind of like to know that they're not impacted by this change. That's all.
Great, thank you.
Can I just ask Mr. Seaman to see her in the back of the room so she gets an answer tonight to her question?
Well, we do have the item on the agenda, and so hopefully that can all be part of it.
Oh, okay.
When we get to that agenda item, hopefully everyone's questions, we can deal with it. Patricia?
Harkin,
thank you. I'm looking, trying.
Okay, I just have something real quick I'm going to read best then ramble. Okay, first off, this is about the California and West Cove proposed idea of consolidating and doing the K through 2 and the 3 through 6. I'm not here to disagree with the premise of the primary schools. It has worked in the past. LA Unified School District, there's a prime example there. The reason I am here is in the manner in which the board intends on making a decision that will have an impact on all the children and the families that at those schools. A sampling of a few select parents at the meeting that we had where this was proposed is not a good gauge of opinion to go forward. And it doesn't constitute we need a public forum in which all of the parents could hear this and be able to speak to it, not just the few that were there that day. So we're here to listen. There are more people who have more questions, and that's just what I want to say at this point.
Okay. Thank you. Robert King.
Hello, my name is Robert King. I've lived in West Covina for 7 years. My two youngest have only gone to California school. Their time there has been enjoyable. My wife and I have also enjoyed interacting with the teachers and staff at California. And I'm just here because I want to say I want to support the administration of the school with whatever would be best for the student body. Personally, I would appreciate if my youngest, this would be your last year there this year, but just the environment at California, we really appreciate, and I would love to have her be there for one more year. Thank you.
Thank you. Alma Hernandez.
And I'll be reading off of something that I wrote tonight, so I won't ramble also, as she said. Good evening, district board members and administrators. I am up here today to address the concept of the proposed reconfiguration of California and West Cove schools. I am a parent of a fifth grader and a first grader at California School, and was also one of the parents who attended the meeting last week where we were presented with this concept of changing the grades at these two schools. First of all, I would like to commend the district administration for having such a focused vision for our children and for looking ahead to the future. However, as with any change, there are concerns that have to be addressed. The concerns discussed at the meeting last week were transportation, the need for cross guards, splitting up families with elementary students between two elementary schools, and also the short notice. We were told that if approved by the board, this reconfiguration would be implemented in August. One parent expressed her need to be convinced that this change was going to have some exceptional improvement or provide exceptional opportunities that are not currently taking place, and that these would far outweigh all the changes our families would be put through in such a short amount of time. Another parent expressed her concern to feel involved and included in the decision-making process that happens within our district before the changes are implemented. This comes from the way in which the IB program was handled, which many parents feel was with very little community involvement. This seems to be the overall feeling of many parents that I am in contact with. We cannot dwell on this issue, but we do want our voices to be heard. We want to be involved in every step of the way when it comes to anything that affects the community that we live in and that our tax dollars go to. We can only move forward now, and the best way would be to keep the lines of communication fully open between the district and the community. On a personal level, I like the idea of having my daughter attend sixth grade at at an elementary school setting, even if that means shuffling my other daughter to Wesco for second grade and then back to California for third through sixth grades. However, I don't speak for everyone. There were only about 15 or 16 parents at last week's meeting, and approval of this new concept should not rely upon their input only. Every family needs to be informed before this is approved by the board. We are a small community, and any change that affects our families is taken very personally. I ask that if you decide to go ahead with this concept today, that you ask for open forum meetings at both schools with all parents. This would give everyone who wants to voice their concerns the opportunity to do so. Thank you for your time and attention.
Jim Schneider.
Good evening. I've been in this community for about 40 years. I grew up in the school districts here. I have coached baseball here for 20 years with West Covina American Little League, Covina Pony, Covina American Pony as well, and now with the West Covina Dukes. I come to you with the attention. My attention is when I coach ball is safety is first, as well as promoting a successful environment for our children. I have coached most of my 20 years of baseball without a child in on the team. I now have a stepchild that I've been coaching for the last 5-6 years, and I have two other older daughters now going to West Covina High School. They're in the pep squad team, and one of my pet peeves is safety. And when I find out my daughter is doing stunts on the pep squad with no mats underneath her, it appalls me. It appalls me that I have one of my child who has an injury who has notified the athletic assistant about the injury. The coaches are notified. They are not turned around and notified the parents at all. And the next morning at 6:30 in the morning, they decide to cancel a practice and send all the players, all the cheerleaders, over to track to run track with a injury to one of the legs of one of their students. Then, as they turn around, they have their nationals that they're submitting for are now 2 weeks late, are paying $400 more for the submitted of late fees, turn around and take her off the team with 4 weeks left before the nationals. We go to the administration. She gets put back onto the team, gets removed from her position on the team, and puts as a place marker in the back of her cheer form. She re-injures an injury later after nationals, or just before the nationals, she has another injury. That same night, their coaches are told have told the parents of the cheer team that they are resigning or quitting, one of the two. She has does the nationals. They do a great routine. They place, I believe, seventh or eighth, just before they can make the cut to go to a secondary day. They have tryouts. The week before the tryouts, they are given an ultimatum. If you don't like what we do, you need to leave. Don't do the tryouts. These are coaches that are now in their first full year coming around talking to our children this way. If safety is first, there's no mats. They're doing their stunts. They have one of my daughters throwing up in the air and landing on cement. Not once, not twice, several times. My other daughter has been dropped as well. Again, with no mats. The body here needs to look into what's going on. They need to find out why safety is not being implemented in this, why the coaches are not putting that foremost, and how this could happen. Why retaliation is being allowed by the administration at the school, because we take it to the school and find out why is she being taken off a team, why is this, the pep squad having to pay $400 more for late fees, and then because we asked to have our daughter put back on the team, why she is now used as a place mark. And now other retaliations have come forth. She's no longer on the team. She was this past, two seasons ago, was the captain of the team. This past season, she was the president of the pep squad. And then they cut her. I ask all of you to take a look into this, because this is not right. As a father, as a coach, retaliation is not what you want to do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yvette Valencia?
Good afternoon, gentlemen, ladies. My name is Yvette Valencia. I have two daughters on the West Covina Pep Squad, and I'm here just to address some concerns. I've never had to approach administration in the years that I've been at the high school, so I'm a bit anxious right now, so excuse me. The program has gone through four leaderships in the past 3 years. There's been a lot of adapting and change for the girls, and we've been with the program and supporting it. But most recently, my girls came home and had talked about how the squad members had been talking about that there was a girl on academic probation that was going to be returning and someone was going to be pulled from the squad. And I told her, so long as you meet your grades and you're respectful and you're on time, there should be no worries. Well, unfortunately, that was not the case. My daughter was unfortunately removed from the team. She called me distraught. I didn't understand why, so I immediately emailed and said, hey, I'd like to understand, you know, what's occurring here so I can understand the decision. They told me that the athletic trainer, Ms. Ramirez, had called them the night before and told them that she had pulled her hamstring or had some pain in her leg and that they didn't know if her level of pain would be at a 5 or be below, and so that for safety reasons they needed to remove her. I said, well, I'd like to have a meeting because I need to understand the rules, regulations, and safety protocol of the school, because at what point is a parent going to be notified? I said, when my child arrived in the morning, why wasn't she sent to the nurse's office? You sent her to the track to run track and run PE. I said, that is not indicative of a child that has a safety situation. I said, if you're telling me, has a level 5 pain, that's a girl who's got some strain, limping, and needs to be medicated and seen by a doctor. When is a parent going to be notified? Where in prior practices, I've been called in the evening, your daughter wasn't feeling well, and then I get no phone call. So I met with them. They apologized immensely. And I said, well, I appreciate the apology, but my daughter shouldn't have been removed from the roster. They said, well, we apologize. The roster needed to be filed. Very strict policies. We can't make changes. I said, well, that's unacceptable. I'd like to meet with the administration and truly fully understand the protocol here. What I discovered in meeting with Ms. Louie right 2 days later is that grades came out. I have the calendar here. Grades were out in January. January 19th, grades are posted, and then the grades are then reissued and published again on March 2nd. The roster for USA Nationals was required to be filed on the 19th of February. They held filing that roster so that grades could be issued on the 26th of February with the intent of putting another child on and pulling somebody else that for 3 years has had over a 3.0 GPA, has been a great student athlete. I was appalled to discover that. It was not safety. And at that point, they said, we truly apologize. And I says, look, these are some huge funds that these parents are paying. And I think they'd be rather surprised to hear that we're spending these kind of dollars recklessly. I said, the $400, who's paying that? Is that a school fund or a cheer fund? I said, we have a banquet we're trying to hold, but we have no funds in our account. I said, and to realize that $400 of the money, I said, that's just disheartening. These girls have worked so hard for this program. We then met. They immediately called the girls in an attempt to fix it, and they moved them into a other category. They moved them from varsity novice into super varsity show cheer, which meant to the girls that was not a category they competed in, but truly an exhibition. So here they were going to go to nationals at the cost of $2,400. and compete in a division, quite frankly, that they didn't qualify in. It's simply taking our football team that qualified for CIF in a Division III and saying, you're going to go now and compete in Division II. How do you explain that to young ladies? I have several parents here that this is not an isolated situation. This has been a continued pattern. And shortly right after that meeting, the next day, the coaches resigned. I'm not certain whether they were dismissed, whether they resigned. I'm not privy to that information, but they left the program. We're kind of like, you know, and I met with them the next morning after the announcement, and they didn't tell us what the announcement was, and I looked at the advisors, and I said, look, I don't know what your big announcement is, but you've made an attempt to fix it. I said, learn from this. These are bumps in the road, but don't resign. We don't want to have change again. They resign. My daughter is removed from a position that she had been working towards. She's not a marginal performer. I never complained about, hey, put my daughter here. I have two girls on the team. They removed her from position, put her in the back. And she came home, and I said, honey, they're resigning. Let's just ride this out, you know, and make the best of it. I'm not going to go back. Let's just work this through. So, you know, we're going to the program. They resign.
You're over the 5 minutes, so if you can,
I'll just wrap this up. In between that time, my daughter does suffer an injury to her knee. I really have no idea who to go to. I leave a call for the office saying, hey, I'd like to discuss one, who's going to be running this program as we look forward to reissue our documents. I said, but I also want to discuss the situation with my daughter. I didn't receive a return phone call. The coaches were unapproachable. At the end of the day, unfortunately, my daughter, her senior year, a three-year member, did not make the team. And it's disheartening for a young girl to learn how unfair life is at such a young age. And I think that it, you know, that something needs to be looked into. I have another daughter on the team, and I really need to consider whether I want her to be part of this program.
Thank you. Donnie Juarez.
Good evening. I'm a parent of a...
Hold on a second. Can you put the laptop down, please? Oh. Monica, thank you. Yeah.
Hi. I'm a parent of one of the Pep Squad members. My daughter has been on the cheer team since her freshman year, and she'll be a senior next year, and she will be on the team again. But my comment is that we have gone through all these changes at the high school since, you know, she's started the program. We've had one coach after another coach, and there hasn't been any kind of consistency with the whole program. And although my daughter is always on her best behavior, I make her, you know, do what's required of her, and that's it. So she's fine. But there's no example. There's like the whole leadership, which I go from the administration point, or the coaches, are not giving these girls a good example of what it should be to be a leader. I require my daughter to maintain at least a 3.0 GPA. I require my daughter to be that leader, but it's not by their example. They should show some example of treating the girls with respect and not trying to demean them, or also scare them so that they don't complain, so that they just, you know, go with the flow. And also, there's in this new coaching staff, there's a lack of maturity in their behavior towards the girls. It's like they're at their level when I think that they should be above that. And I just wanted to just make that comment, let you guys be aware of. There's parents that are involved in this cheer team, and, you know, we do our best to try to promote our kids to be good examples for this high school. And we're kind of let down when, you know, our kids are kind of like lost in a way. And we just kind of want to make a note to bring that to your attention and, you know, see if you could look into that.
Thank you. Mrs. Magana.
Good evening, President Spence, members of the board, assistant superintendents, and Superintendent Castillo. My name is Marina Magana. I'm the president of CSEA, the Classified Chapter 91. And tonight I'm here on behalf of all classified employees, but specifically for the 19 that will potentially be unemployed by the end of the school year. Where is the heart? The heart lies in those classified employees here tonight in the faces of those members who will be cut due to lack of work. Our district holds financially solvable, and yet we are facing cuts due to lack of work. Where is the justice? 19 members of our friends and colleagues, and some of those that were even honored tonight from Merced Elementary, are going to be affected. 19 individuals, which will face the harsh reality of how our government has dictated our school districts on where to spend their money. Look around. These faces have stories. They have worked hard to reach where they are today. They've given hours and some years to obtain their status here in West Covina Unified School District and are happy to say so, including myself. You may not know these people by name, but CSEA does. And you as board members should take the time to consider that tonight as you make the decision of drastically changing the lives of these 19 employees. There's no doubt that this district is facing a potential loss in revenue and declining enrollment, but at what cost should it mean taking these 19 positions and cutting them? What good will that do to a student who is in need of an instructional aid and there isn't one to help them achieve their goals in school? According to the agenda, there are 6 instructional assistants from special education. If a special needs child needs help, one-on-one direction, who do they go to when the special ed aide is no longer there at their site to help them because there's lack of work for that aide? Shall we tell the parents, we're sorry, but your child couldn't get that special help because there wasn't enough work for them? I don't think so. I only have one question in your minds. Who should be responsible to pick up the slack of those members being laid off? Our members work hard every day. Would you expect them to put in additional hours because our district made the drastic decision to letting them go? Would you do that? We don't expect them to, and I don't think you would either. This is why West Covina Chapter 91, CSEA, would respectfully request the school board to table tonight's resolution regarding the layoffs of classified employees in order for both CSEA and the district personnel to meet and negotiate the cause and effects of this layoff. Due to a failure of properly communicating this proposal prior to receiving a list today by the district, there has been issues concerning me receiving a board agenda. I've been in office since January 1st, and it just came to my attention today that CSEA has a mailbox. I still don't know where my mailbox is. So if anybody could tell me where my mailbox is, I'll be glad to come by, check it every day. But without knowing, I can't collect my mail.
I want to address the lack of communication also. I am a second VP, and I got a lot of phone calls. And I called my chapter president, and she didn't know. Per our contract, we should have the agenda 72 hours before a meeting. We're lucky when we get it the Monday before the meeting. So I would like to propose that we work together to become better communicators. And the top of the priority would be getting the agenda on time. Thank you.
Nicole, can you state your name for the record, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Nicole Jones.
Thank you.
Chapter second VP.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're on the business session, organizational approval of the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting. Does anyone wish to add an item? Does anyone wish to take off an item? Yes.
Item number 17.
Item number 17.
Number 10.
Number 10. Any others?
16.
Okay, 16. Okay, going to have to track all this. I'd like to take item 5 off. Anything else off? Nothing on? Is there a
five off?
Yeah. Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second? Okay, it's been moved by EMJ and seconded by JS to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting with the deletions item 5, 10, 16, and 17. Is that correct? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's approved 5-0. Okay, item number 5, I ask to take this off of consent. And I had a question just about the waiver. When I read the waiver request, it talks about the adoption and using this money for instructional materials going forward. That's what we're asking for the waiver for because of different bureaucratic problems.
Partly,
and what's the other part then?
The entire allocation has not been given to us by the state.
Okay, and so we're asking for a waiver so we can spend it during this coming year?
Yes.
Okay, now.
Or before the end of this year.
Before the end of this year, okay. Okay. Now, this is allocated based on the allocation formula that we did when we approved the budget last June. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So this has nothing to do with what formula we may use for the coming year?
No.
Okay. Does anyone have any other questions on this item? I'll go ahead and move it. Is there a second? Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve applying for the Title I waiver to carry over funds that will be targeted to supplement LEA adoption. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, it's approved 5-0. Item number 7, course outlines.
Mrs. Valentine?
Okay, are there any questions on this item? Is there a motion? I'm sorry, what? It's been moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept for first reading the course outlines, including middle school journalism, ELA revisions, and new courses as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's approved 5-0. Item number 8.
Mrs. Valentine.
Good evening and thank you. In the fall of 2009, Mr. Cook and I oversaw the adoption process for English language arts as well as to complete the upper levels of math at the high school. It's a comprehensive, thorough process that is followed that allows teachers, administrators, committee members, and parents the opportunity to review each approved publisher's curriculum. During this time, there are many questions in regards to Success for All. The Success for All program is not a comprehensive language arts program, and it is not approved by the State Board of Education. Thus, for this purpose, it is not an option to be able to look at adoption for Success for All. After thoughtful consideration, the language arts and math curricula recommended for approval that you have in your agenda was determined to best meet the district's needs for the comprehensive standards-based program that has a strong foundational skills supporting a rigorous curriculum and course of study. Included in the core program is a wide range of resources, particularly to meet the needs for differentiation for our high-achieving students, for our students at risk, for our special education population, as well as second language learners. Additionally, there's a strong technology component that is available, and this is important for two reasons. One, it offers teachers a wide array of opportunities instructionally and for support in the classroom. But secondly, it also allows anywhere, anytime access for both students and parents. And many of our schools are being very, very proactive in setting aside computers for parents who may not have the technology at home and hours that are staggered throughout the day as well as evening sessions to give them that access. We are confident the programs being recommended for you for approval will support our students, teachers, parents, and school community by providing a rich and rigorous and engaging instructional program. For anyone interested, we have the programs out for display. Secondary is in the conference room C, and elementary, because there are a large quantity of resources, is in the ERC. Thank you.
Okay, are there any questions from anyone on these? I had a question. Can you repeat the first part that you said about SFA?
SFA, it was a reform model in 1998, mm-hmm. but during this adoption process, it is not approved by the State Board of Education because it is not a comprehensive language arts program. It's a reform model that has language arts components, specifically comprehension, but is not recognized by the state of California.
Right. So it's not eligible for what?
For adoption for language arts.
Right, but we could purchase materials with, for example, lottery funds and things like that, correct?
But for implementation to meet the guidelines for Title I and Title III, that would not be an option.
Okay, and which schools use SFA?
San Jose, which would not fall under the
charter.
Orangewood and Merlinda are the two schools.
Okay, and so does that mean, am I hearing we're eliminating SFA at those two schools?
Correct. They would have the adopted program of Imagine It as recommended.
Okay, so that means we're eliminating, let me go back. So are we eliminating SFA there? They would not be using, they'd be using Open Court through the Imagine It
the
program,
Imagine
is that
it,
correct?
Yes, they would implement the core program as required by the State Board of Education.
Okay, so we would be, when?
So SFA would not be implemented as a language arts program, correct.
Okay. So that means those staff members there, there's two staff members, right, that are assigned to that?
I'm
one
sorry,
at each school?
The two staff members?
Aren't there two coordinators, SFA coordinators?
There are two instructional support specialists,
mm-hmm.
and that position would continue.
Oh, but not in the capacity of SFA?
Correct. They would be aligned to what is happening at the other six elementary schools.
With Open Court?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, that answers one question. That's need to look more into that. And then second question is, was this unanimous among everyone on the committee to do Imagine It, or were there other options that were talked about?
There were other options, and not just for language arts at elementary, but, of course, there were personal preferences. But when it was looked at the district lens, the predominant strength was for the Imagine It because of the depth of resources, particularly for our high-achieving students and our EL students, and the technology component. So they, all programs, middle level and elementary, as I said, there were preferences. But then, in the end, the committees.
The district lens.
The district lens.
Whatever that means.
Well,
okay.
It's looking at accountabilities and what we're held to.
Okay. Are there any other questions on this item?
I met with the super, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I had met with the superintendent, and thank you. She went over a little bit of it. I neglected to mention, within the past month, I also attended a White House briefing on the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind, and very key to that that component was data. So can you give me some examples of data at the elementary level, middle school level, that we would be able to collect? Because they're very, very data-driven, and the superintendent said, yes, the programs are.
Yes.
So what can we look at in terms of this very comprehensive program? How can we move it? How can we aggregate it?
We have a data warehouse system, our school city, in which we do gather data, and which I know we've submitted and shared that information with the board to show how we're currently progressing in achievement, and that would not change. Additionally, within the programs that are being recommended, there are opportunities for the students to take, unit tests or weekly tests, that data is able to be gathered and looked at and critically analyzed to determine which standards are being met, which ones are not being met, and then how to provide that support for students. But that would be a district way of compiling that data. But it's all there. It's all available. So I don't know if.
Okay. Does it also, in addition to being able to take the weekly test, unit test, and we have our what was it called?
School City, which is our data warehouse system. Correct.
Are we able to hone in, and we're looking at a second grade, third grade class, and we're studying, I don't know, ending sounds, and we're able to see that these five didn't quite answer that question correctly. They answered it similarly. We see that they might need some instruction.
Correct.
And it wasn't a problem with the question. It was actually in how they're learning.
Correct. Okay. Yes, that is available.
Okay, so we can really...
You can hone in, absolutely.
Hone in.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
By standard, by student.
By standard, by student. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Polis?
In Success for All, they were doing leveling. And
right.
And Imagine It, you talked about it was being able to differentiate among all the different groups. Will they still be leveling in different classrooms, or is that it's going to be done like it is in the others, where there's not going to be leveling all the fourth graders, or I mean, fourth grade reading levels in mm-hmm. one class? And
that's an implementation model that could be left to the discretion of the school. Okay. Imagine It doesn't tell you which way to do it, but it is capable to allow for multiple different levels within the classroom and gives the teacher the necessary materials and support systems to be able to teach to that. But should a school decide to level, that would be an option for them.
Okay. So they can still do it the way they were doing it if they choose.
Correct.
The two
Correct. There would be enough data to be able to disaggregate to determine how to okay. best meet those
back
needs.
Back to data.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions on this item? Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Okay. It's moved by Mrs. Polis. Second. Is there a second? Yes. So Ms. Shoemaker, to accept for first reading the instructional materials as presented, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No. It's 4-1. Item number 9, information report, consideration of establishment of the West Coast Primary K-2 and California Elementary Grades, 3-6.
We have Mrs. Valentine who will present the idea. And parents, thank you for coming. We hope by the end of the presentation that most of your questions here will be answered, but if they're not,
does this
we
match
will make sure
up?
That we do.
Does this match the handout?
Yes.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to introduce an idea to you tonight. And that is of a primary center and a 3-6 elementary. You know, we're constantly monitoring many things at our schools in addition to student achievement data. We monitor certainly that, but also the enrollment and needs of a school. And we know that we have certainly a desire to keep our neighborhood schools, to leverage all of our academic program resources to accelerate achievement, both school-wide and for our subgroups. Of course, always we have in our minds that our desire to close achievement gaps, to meet all of our state and federal accountabilities, and to meet the developmental needs of a wide range of students. Our elementary schools, that's from kindergarten to or 5 years until about 11 years old. In doing that, we sort of began to develop a concept in order to sort of plan ahead, plan for the future. And as we started to sort of make a construct of what that might look like, we were thinking about what ways do we have to improve our program that will result in, of course, increased in student achievement? What ways do we have to leverage our resources to manage enrollment? And, of course, we know our own community and certainly the proximity of school sites. We put those things together. We came sort of to the conclusion that the idea of configuring California and West Cove as partner schools gives us the opportunity to create a K-2 primary center at West Cove and a 3-6 elementary at California. So these two schools, in a sense, would unify to improve the program. We know that research tells us the best place to make an early impact for students who come in perhaps with a deficit is to intervene as early as possible, and a primary center would allow us to focus our resources there. We also know that we would then be able to concentrate and on our youngest learners with those pedagogical practices that are shown to maximize their learning. Likewise, we could focus on the developmental needs of upper elementary students and design programs to serve them. Let me tell you a little bit about our research in terms of an instructional program. A primary center, an elementary school, would allow for each site to focus on their instructional program for students in an environment that's customized and responsive to that age span. Primary center will help students to develop and master foundational skills of learning to read. So in K1 and 2, huge emphasis on learning to read. A focus setting will maximize the power of early intervention if needed, and acceleration of English literacy skills that will result in narrowing the achievement gap in the years ahead. It really puts students in the trajectory of success for later years. Similarly, a focused 3-6 elementary school program will address the developmental needs of students reading to learn. Making this shift is critical in those upper grades. The ability to extract information from text, understand it, and write about it are at the heart of 21st century skills. We have addressed the achievement gap with many of our academic supports, as well as supplemental programs beyond the school day, and these initiatives have been beneficial. However, we still need additional steps to achieve the exceptional growth in student achievement we expect. The ability for our teachers to unite and collaborate on lesson planning that includes differentiation from the inception of a lesson is critical to improving our instructional practice. At a 3-6 school, the increase in enrollment would ensure that there are viable grade-level teams to support collaboration in data analysis, lesson design, and planning. And that includes planning for intervention and supplemental instruction. And, of course, it allows us more opportunities to personalize support for students. We know that lessons cannot be static. They must constantly be reviewed, revised for the learners as learners progress. And when teachers are able to work with other teachers and collaborate on that, it does maximize their ability to deliver high-quality instruction. Several people have asked what kind of an impact this would have on state and federal accountability. In terms of state accountability, the Academic Performance Index, what essentially would happen if the schools were separated was that in that first year, a new base API would be established. In terms of federal accountability, the AMO targets, those annual measurable objectives, are going to be the same for all schools, and they'll continue. They continue to rise over the next 4 years, and that's it wouldn't change for schools, no matter which configuration they were in. The third part of accountability is students participating in the testing. We have a very high rate. We're at 99 to 100% already, and I would expect that to continue. We have done some research into some schools or school districts that are organized in primary centers. In LA Unified, probably they have the most of any district around here, of course, because of their size. They have a number of configurations. Some are kinder only. Some are kinder 1 or K1, 2. And shown on the chart are the API scores for three of their K2 primary centers. Okay, in the center is Mountain View, just to the west of us. They have one primary center that's a K3 primary center. Their API over 800. And these schools have increased over the past few years as we did research. And then just to the south of us in La Habra, that district has long been organized as primary centers, upper elementary, and middle schools. They have three four primary centers, and their API results are noted there, anywhere from mid-700s to high 800s. And those schools have shown progress in API over time.
What do you mean by school 1, 2, 3, and 4?
They just, for example, in La Habra, they have four different primary centers. Mm-hmm. This is not growth of any one school.
Right.
This is the results, the 2009 results of four different schools. And then we looked at the 3-5 configuration. And this is a harder configuration to find data on because many of the primary centers actually feed into K-5 or K-6 or sometimes K-8 schools. So it's sort of harder to isolate that. La Habra had the best information for us, and it, again, in this chart, it just shows that there are three schools that have grades 3 through 5 are scoring in the high 700 to low 800 range in terms of API. So I don't think that the configuration alone is going to have a huge impact on accountability, numbers going up or down. I do think it will have an impact on student learning, which later translates into increased API scores and meeting AMO targets. Once we did some research and we found that there was a good deal of support for the developmental approach that primary centers and middle elementary schools provide, we started to think, okay, could we logistically do this? Is this something that's doable here? So we started looking in terms of staff assignments, and we find that by reconfiguring the school, all of the teachers would still have a job, maybe at a different location, but it'd really be about swapping some teachers. So that would work. We looked at the facilities carefully. Would each of these facilities be able to accommodate a particular grade span? And as you know, both of those have been modernized, and both of the facilities could accommodate that particular grade level. Some other things that we would need to consider and work on would be the alignment of schedules, not just starting and ending times in morning and afternoon, but also the alignment of schedules, things like parent education events, parent conferences, back to school night. We'd have to organize those so families could attend both. Transportation and entering and leaving school, also things that we would need to deal with. There is a busy intersection at California and Merced that we would have to address. Currently, there are bus routes that pick up students, deliver them to school, both of those schools. And we believe, actually, that we would not need to add routes. We might need to add a couple of bus stops to pick up kids, but we wouldn't need to add an additional route. In terms of equipment and furniture, both of these schools have adequate furniture now. Again, we would have to match the furniture to the students, so smaller things would move to one site. And, of course, grade-level instructional material and media center materials that match the grade levels would need to be moved. Once we realized that, our research was showing that this is has a positive impact on student learning, and we went through some of these logistics and realized these were all things that we could do, we thought then it would be a good idea to get some parent input. And Mrs. Lesikar and Dr. Quinn were good enough to identify some parents to come and meet with us last Thursday. About 15 parents came, and they had sort of came from represented a wide range of families, some that have siblings at both ends, so primary sibling, a child at a primary grade and an upper grade, some that were fifth grade students who might stay for sixth grade, families that had students who were involved in special education programs, families that had children that might need to go to West Cove and then eventually come back to California. So it was a wide range of families. And generally, I would say that the feedback from them was positive. They communicated with us that they liked the age-appropriate focus of a primary center in an upper-grade school, certainly a nurturing environment for their children. They expressed that they felt it was a safer environment for K-2 students, being a little bit isolated from some of the older kid influences. Some liked the idea that sixth grade students would remain at California. And they saw it as a better way of maximizing instructional materials, instruction and materials for students. And of course, just as some of them expressed tonight, there were certainly some things that they would like us to consider if the board chooses to move forward with this. They were very forthcoming with sharing the challenges that they perceived in things like managing the traffic pattern in the morning to drop off students or pick up students, the crossing, especially at the corner of California and Merced. They had questions about bus routes and pickup. Some of them expressed concerns about managing siblings who might be at different schools. They asked that if indeed this is a plan that we move forward with, that we need to plan for some transition activities for students to help them understand their move to a new school. And there would be the need to coordinate activities and organizations like PTA. There are two organizations now. How can those two organizations work together to support two schools? And, of course, maybe one of their biggest concerns was what are timelines for this and what kind of communication would be taking place to let the wider school community know about this possibility. Okay. What I'd like to do now is end the presentation with Mrs. Lesicar, who has a unique sort of perspective on this. Mrs. Lesicar has experience as being a parent and a teacher in this type of configuration.
Good evening. Well, as Ms. Valentine said, I was fortunate to be both a parent, highly involved as a volunteer, both in the schools and community, and then later on as a teacher in a school district with this type of configuration. So let me speak first as a parent, and I very much liked the shelter environment of having a K-2 configuration for the little ones. I also liked having third grade on the upper campus because the curriculum takes a big jump, and I realized this long ago as a parent, a big jump from second to third, and then another jump from third to fourth. And this was long before state standards, and even now the accountabilities are even more stringent. It also helped transitioning the kids to middle school because they'd already changed once, so it wasn't quite as emotional as it might be. They'd already made one transition. To talk about some of the concerns that the parents had, the drop-off and pickup at the different schools wasn't really a problem because the start and dismissal time staggered by about 10 minutes. The night events were scheduled to coincide with the other schools in the district. The primary were on Tuesday, the upper elementary were Thursday, and the middle were Wednesdays, for example. And then the buses, the kids that didn't walk, and we did have a crossing guard at Whittier Boulevard, which was a very busy street to cross, so there was a crossing guard there. But the buses picked up both the kids at the same bus stop at the same time, dropping off the upper elementary first, and then the primary, and then the reverse happened at the end of the day. And that way then the upper grade student was on the bus first and could save the sibling seat should they need to ride together. Now, having raised three children, I know that not all siblings like this much togetherness. Okay. As an educator, I felt that as a teacher that we could better meet the developmental needs for the different levels when they're separated, that it gives parents an option to have sixth grade at California, and that's a nice option for parents. Not all kids are ready for middle school at sixth grade. It also allows for a more focused professional development. The upper and primary have very different instructional needs. As we have said, the emphasis on learning to read K-2, as Ms. Valentine had stated, and then it moves to reading to learn when we hit third grade. We can also maximize the fiscal resources for professional development with a smaller grade span. More teachers at a grade level provides more effective and diverse collaboration. And a larger grade level collaboration can generate new ideas, which can look at things in a fresh way to improve student achievement. With more teacher choices at a grade level, we can better match a teacher to a student or a student to a teacher, student to teachers, for a more optimal learning environment. And then we can also allow for targeted management of focused and human fiscal and human resources within a smaller grade span. So if the board, if this is a plan that the board decides that they'd like to pursue further, I see it as very doable, and I know Dr. Quinn and I would both be happy to do it. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from the board? Mrs. Polis.
How do the two schools communicate with one another? If, as the second graders transition, is there communication between the two schools? And who do I address my questions to?
To me. Who do you want to communicate? The kids, the parents, the teachers, the staff?
I was thinking of the staff. Now, when you're getting a new group of students, because in your one school, you can communicate, well, doesn't seem like our second graders are prepared.
Right.
How is that communication process going to happen when they're in two different sites?
They will have joint meetings, both of parents and of teachers and staff. One of the things that we know from experience and the literature is that even though by site they are separated, by purpose they are not. And so we believe that these types of schools that are configured this way continue to work both collectively and apart. And so what we envision is several staff meetings where they meet together, several parent meetings where they meet together, visitations from parents at each site. I mean, the more they work in tandem as a partnership, the better. And I think that would probably be based on the principal leadership to arrange, but I'm sure in terms of expectations that could be accomplished easily.
Great. Okay. When we were looking on page 2 on that slide, at the bottom, you were comparing schools. Now, we see the schools comparing to each other, but we don't see them comparing to their more traditional counterparts. Was there a difference in the traditional type schools in compared to the primary centers?
Yes, I think that what we tried to do in this chart that you're referring to is show that when there's a focus at that grade level, usually you see the spike because of the focus and concentration. We could provide and should provide to you another slide that compares it to the traditional situation. I have to say that with all of these concepts and with everything we do in our district and in education, a lot of it starts with an idea. And as I spoke to people, they'd say, well, I've never heard of this. This is the first I've heard of it. So if I speak to a parent, that's what I hear. If I speak to a board member or board president, that's what I hear. This is the first I've heard of it. And one of the challenges is that when we are looking at student results and seeing what's coming down from the state in terms of mandates and in terms of fiscal resources, we have to project what's the best situation that we can apply to students. And if we are at fault in anything in education is sort of remaining stagnant and not changing as things change to meet the needs of kids. So one of the things that, you know, I want to reassure you is two things. This is sort of a sampling of an idea that has come before a group of parent representatives for the first time. These two principals heard it for the first time a few months ago, and the board is hearing it in discussion for the first time. But, you know, it's sort of the concept of which is first. Who do you speak to first? And what we try to do is do our research to see if this is something that's beneficial to our students. First and foremost, our mission is to educate them. So to answer questions about, you know, staffing, this doesn't affect, what affects staffing is the number of students that we serve. So, for example, California is getting smaller. If I had the druthers of a small school, I'd make that the primary center as a small school. Because what we see is that when we get children to read at grade level by grade 2 and 3, that the achievement gap closes and their struggles as an upper grade become less. So if we're going to put resources at an age group, our thinking was we would do it here. Having said that, I want to assure everybody that obviously parent forums, articulation throughout, even if we were to create this next year, a year from now, whenever we create it, we're only as good as the people we serve in terms of the ability to communicate to them. So just be sure that you understand that. In the comparisons, it's very difficult because even though we get similar school rankings from the state, our rankings aren't always favorable depending on the students, the number of EL students that we have. Even though they're similar rankings, we fall in different categories. So in short, what I would like for the board to ask and the public is all their questions, have as many meetings as we can at the school site, make sure that people are understanding the pros and the cons. Obviously, if you're a parent with a child at the elementary lower grades and upper grades, there's a con. You got to go to two schools now, or I have to put them on a bus. And one of the things that we got from parents is their number. All of these parent representatives basically brought the issues of transportation. Cammie's bringing up the issues of articulation. So the more we discuss this, the more we learn. And it is, I want to reassure you, that we haven't thought of everything. So the questions are appreciated, the input is appreciated, and we'll continue to answer any questions.
The crossing guard issue. Usually the city pays for our crossing guard.
Mm-hmm.
Would if the we couldn't get another crossing guard, would we pay for a crossing guard at Merced in California?
We could. However, I believe that transportation will take care of that issue.
Okay.
I think even a crossing guard on that busy street is an issue.
Okay.
So I think the best way to do that is by arranging pickup points so that no child has to walk across with or without a crossing guard.
So all students would be transported?
Yeah.
If those that live on the other side
correct.
Of the Calabama Merced?
Correct.
Okay. There was some talk about the sixth grade students being able to stay on. Now, right now, West Cove has sixth grade, but California doesn't. What if all of the sixth graders decide to stay on? Will that be an option?
Yes.
Okay. And will they then go to Walnut Grove, or would they split and some of them go to Walnut Grove and Edgewood?
They're natural patterns for seventh grade.
Okay. And how will that affect Edgewood's sixth grade if those students choose not to go?
We've estimated Edgewood 6th grade would lose approximately 50 students.
After school care, was that addressed at all?
We believe that supplemental instruction takes care of most of that with our intervention program. So as long as we have that, I think that we're in good shape, and we're projecting that is continuing in our district for the future.
And I'm assuming you're talking about the YASIS?
Correct.
Now, would they attend YASIS at their home, what was now considered their home school,
mm-hmm.
or at the center that they're at?
At the center that they're at, because the materials are aligned to the instruction and the materials that are at that center.
Okay. And so the parents may be picking up at two different schools after school.
Correct.
I know that it's really hard to know when we're going to let parents know, and I heard Ms. Castillo say that it was just a core sampling, so she could tell the board if there was even interest by the parents. And it sounds like there was interest, but there were still a lot more questions. What I heard over and over again was, how was the larger community going to know? So if we decide that this is something we're interested in, when will the next forums happen?
As you recall, we're not new at opening up schools in this district. And we've had a number, when we did Walnut Grove, we went into the feeder schools and had a number of forums for parents at different times. The principals at both sites would be addressing this with the help of their Parent Teachers Association. I know that West Cove and California have advertised to parents that there's a concept being considered. They encourage people to be here, and I'm sure they would encourage people to be at their sites. But obviously, we want as many parents to understand both the benefits and the challenges. And we believe that the benefits far outweigh the challenges, so we're bringing it forward. But it's, you know, we had a parent, I don't think he's here tonight, Mr. Williams was at the parent meeting that we had on Thursday, and he said, you know, he's a single parent, but if it took him driving to two schools and it was in his child's academic interest, he'd do it. So different parents will have, you know, different perspectives of it, and we would look to hear that out.
Well, and I just wanted to say thank you for all the families that came, because it gave me an idea of what their concerns were, and if we were going to move forward, what really needed to be addressed before we moved on. So thank you all for coming so I could hear your input.
Okay, Ms. Shoemaker?
I just had something very quickly. I attended the open house at West Cove, and one of the questions that I heard about this concept was they just wanted it explained why West Cove will be K through 2 and California will be 3 through 6. And so when you're doing the parent meetings, that may be something you want to address.
Yeah. One of the things I would just say briefly, that when we look at the number of classrooms and sinks in classrooms and equipment in classrooms, you know, little people need little things. And so we looked at which situation would make it easier for us in terms of facilitating the resources that would be needed. But Mr. Fruto sent staff out to look at both schools and looked at each classroom. Not to say that if, you know, there's an overwhelming by anyone that says, hey, no, we want it the other way around, I'm not opposed to that. I'm open to it. We're looking at saving resources so that we can purchase these expensive supplemental materials for the kids, because our goal here is to really focus on getting kids to read by the end of second grade, beginning third grade.
Okay. Mr. Cox?
Yeah, usually when we address these kinds of issues, we generally look at two issues. A, whether it's well researched, and secondly, whether it's been proven successful. So as I go through this process in the next few weeks or months or whatever we go through this process, that's two of the things that I'll be all looking for. Is there some particular reason, or I guess I understand the reason between West Cove and California, and, you know, if what you're saying in the success of the program and the you know, at least conceptually proves out, is this something that could be done, say, for instance, between Vine and Merced, Cameron and Berlinda, Orangewood and Monta Vista, and those kinds of things, because maybe we want to go district-wide. Let me just kind of go on, and then you can sort of just address. I am concerned.
You want to address each one at each time, or you want to go run through all yours?
No, let me just ramble on.
Okay.
I do better that way.
Okay, no problem.
As I look through this, I have a little bit of concerns, and I understand you have only a little bit amount of time and space, but only the three school districts. Well, let's exclude LAUSD because they don't really represent the San Gabriel Valley or limited areas, but having only two other school districts, you know, moving forward in this capacity, I kind of question whether or not that this truly has been proven successful or you know, and that it hasn't caught on in a greater manner. In the brief little research that I did, all the primary schools and research that I could get through my very arcane ability to research on the computer seems to come from Great Britain and Australia. So, and it seems to be working there. And and one thing I do like about this whole concept is this idea of concentrating the K-2 teachers and the 3-6 teachers all at one site. I think that actually sounds to me like there's a lot of merit moving forward in that capacity. So anyway, I'd just like us to think about other schools, and then we'll just kind of see where this goes.
Go ahead. No, you just wanted to ramble. Let's go ahead.
Okay, first I wanted to say thank you for the concept. I'm because that's the one thing that I'm seeing as I'm going to all these conferences, and y'all know I'm the newbie here, is that we aren't moving quickly enough to keep up with what's going on in the larger world. Schools aren't. We're too deeply rooted in what used to work.
So I appreciate the concept, and from what I was hearing from parents this weekend and from today is exactly what was said, is that it's the concept sounds great, and I was hearing the same thing, that parents like the idea of kids being in sixth grade with the elementary. It's just, how are we going to roll this out to parents? And as much as I'm hearing that we have time, we could do it this year, we could do it next year, if we do it this year, we're already almost in May. So, and school lets out the second week in June, right? So how would we even make the parents aware so they can change plans and things like that? So I'm curious as to what is the plan for making the parents aware? And can we also give parents the flexibility that if there's a meeting going at California but they're a West Coast parent, they could go either or?
Absolutely.
The more. What are we looking at as the plan? How many different ways are we going to touch point? Are we going to put it on our website? Are we going to send out email? Are we going to use the phone?
All of the above.
Good.
And any other ideas that you have? Basically, communicating to parents works different ways for different people. But having flexibility and allowing as many meetings as possible is key before our next board meeting. As a staff, of course, we would like to have within a month's time a decision so that we could do all the preparations. It takes work to get facilities ready, the professional development, the plans for new budgets, all of the things that it takes. It's doable. We've done it before. It's not our first time. We are a school district who believes in providing choices and not leaving the status quo. But I will tell you, in looking at what's going on in our nation, when Congress pretends that they're the Board of Education and the President thinks he's the superintendent, when it comes to looking at local, they're going to come up with some ideas. And they're going to say, you need to meet these benchmarks. And they're looking at national ways of giving money that meets those benchmarks. When I look at our schools, I think that reacting after we become a PI school or after we don't meet our English learners or after is not the best way to do business for students. The best way is to work with our professionals to get ahead of it. And so one of the concepts is that we need to explain to parents that this is what's coming down and here's what happens. Let me just give you kind of the flip side of the coin. If I were talking to a group of parents, I'd say, here's the other side. We do nothing. We just continue to provide education the way we've been providing. A year from now, we'll get a letter that says, X school needs to be reconstituted because their subgroups didn't meet targets. Now it's reconstitution. Now all of these things that we're talking about don't matter. Don't matter what parents say. Doesn't matter what the seniority list is. Doesn't matter who the principal is. None of that matters. The state takes over. I believe that in the best of all worlds, we have the destiny and the fate in our own hands. Our teachers have worked very hard. I really believe that both of these schools are going to show tremendous improvements this year. And I know that part of that is the parents and the parents being involved with their children, and they're behind that. But are there sacrifices to be made? Absolutely. There's going to be sacrifices. Are teachers going to keep their jobs? This isn't about changing the number of teachers that we have. 90% of them will teach the same grade they've taught. Okay. Should they want to change that grade, we would talk to them about that. But I think telephone communications, email, newspaper, you know, we have teleparent phone calls. We have district advisory meetings. We have PTA meetings. There's a whole litany of ways that we can communicate.
Thank you, because I got lots of phone calls about free and reduced.
How many exactly? Give me the names.
I think I got about a dozen. The other thing, too, is because we are pursuing this new concept, and at the White House briefing, the one thing that was really interesting is that most of the reforms that the president is going to put into play are going to be grant-based. I was very surprised at that. Most of them are going to be that you have to write a proposal. So by us reconfiguring, I think we're going to be eligible for some of the money that's out there. Where in the prior,
absolutely,
I don't think we would have been. So this
absolutely
gives us an opportunity for additional funding to ease that transition. You answered my question about whether teachers can change grades. Thank you.
Okay, I have a few questions and comments. And then, when the superintendent called and said she was going to place us on the agenda, she asked if I had ever thought about doing this and what my feelings were. And I told her, I don't know, I've never thought about it. She's right. And I'm still kind of agnostic on it in that sense. I do have some questions and some, I guess, concerns. The first one is I'd like to know the number of parents that are going to be split between the two schools. You know, how many families does that affect between, well, there's one? Okay, one? No. you know, but I'm sure we have that data. We have that data about, I'm kind of curious how many we're actually affecting with that split.
We can tell you enrollment for what that would be affected. I don't know how many of those families have multiple kids, so we'd have to find that out. But I could tell you that.
Well, I would assume like the principal knows kind of how many families there is that has a first grader and a fourth grader or that kind of stuff at their school.
I
assume that, they're small schools and our principals, I guesstimate, of how many, if you're off by a couple, I'll let slide. But, I'm curious how many parents are actually being affected about that.
Okay.
I'm curious about when we talk about transportation, if we're going to be using the board policy that's in place to decide the transportation distances, or are we talking about modifying it? Because modifying it could end up having an impact on other schools and costs, and I'd be a little concerned about that. I know when I was a kid, a kindergartner, I got picked up by a bus to go to West Coast School, but my first day I ended up at California School. And I was lost on my first day, and then they got me to West Coast School after they figured I was in the wrong school. So I know it's not that far apart. And everyone knows it's not far apart from California School in La Puente, which was where they were going to take me because they thought I was in the wrong school. But I know those distances aren't that far. I'd be concerned about changing our transportation policy if it meant adding extra costs and burdens to some of our other campuses and routes and so forth. The API scores issue, and I appreciate the way it was presented here because when I first saw it, I was all, that's great that what I'm concerned about is West Cove has been our lowest performing school for a long period of time. California's kind of had some ups and downs over the years. So my question is not, great, this is how that school in La Habra is doing, or Mountain View, which is a much different district than us, and some parts of La Habra are, and I don't know where the ones are in LA Unified. But, the question is, and this is what I'd like you to find, is there a school that switched that saw increase in student achievement? Because that to me would be very persuasive that, okay, there was these schools, when they switched, these were their scores, and then when they switched and they're able to do some of these things, that's where we saw the increase. Because my concern is, I was going to ask how are we going to evaluate if it's working? Well, after 2 years, if we find out it's not working, how are we really going to undo this? This is not something that's easily undone. It's not one reading program. It's not one math program. This is a disruption, so you can't really go, oh, man, it's not working, let's undo it now, and go back. So I'd like to see if you can find that kind of data, because some of the things here are counterintuitive. Most of the research we've gotten from you in the past were things like K-8s are great because there's not transitions, and then yet, oh, great, there's more transitions, so that helps in transition. So, that's kind of what I'm looking for. I want to see that there's something that shows when we switch, there'll be some kind of jump in our student achievement because those schools, especially West Coast, deserve it and need it based on the scores that we've been getting back from the state. And so that's why I say I'm agnostic on it. I want to see that is something that's going to happen. I know Mr. King, talked about sixth grade. And just so you know, in Mike Spence's world, which is a happy, wonderful, joyful place, all our schools would have sixth grade at our elementary school. So I don't know. Even if we didn't do this, I'd be willing to take sixth grade and put it at California because I think that's something that we should do at all our schools. Because when this district went through the bankruptcy, they decided grade configurations based on financial, not education needs. Yes, they did. Beck, you weren't here then. They did do that. All those things were done on money.
No,
the schools
I'm
that were selected.
I'm shaking my head to one size fits all.
Because I'm not arguing that.
Here's
that's why I'm for K-8s, and that's why I'm for charter schools, and that's why I'm for all these other things.
Exactly.
But I want to see, I'm with you on the sixth grade thing. But I do want to see, something that said, okay, when La Habra switched to these, or Mountain View switched to these, when LA Unified, there was a spark.
Yeah.
It was something that was meaningful, not just these are their scores now.
Yes, we'll look at
that. Because, I'm sure their scores have gone up.
Yep.
As most schools have gone up, and so
right.
I'm just trying to get a handle on that. The transportation thing I talked about, I am concerned about the notification part of it, because we are kind of bumping against the road. I don't know if it's better suited to do it a year from now or not. I am kind of, I guess it depends on what we find out or the data we find out. Because this is really going to be kind of I mean, it can be done.
Well, let me
we opened up Holland Crest. I mean, you know, in 90 days we had that school reopen.
I was here when we opened up Walnut Grove.
Yeah, we did.
When we opened up full day K.
Right, so we can do it.
When we put sixth grade on elementary campuses. Here's
so we can
two
do
things
it.
I don't agree with. I don't agree that elementary schools should be 800 to have sixth grade on their campus. I think that's too big. So my position is this. Listen, my job would be so much easier to do nothing. Okay? My job is much simpler as a district to keep it that way. You all know that this is sacrifice for parents, for the board to make the decisions for us. But even without the research, even without proving it to you on paper, I can guarantee you that changing in a world where K-2 children have struggled to read at grade level and focusing instruction, all that, is absolutely guaranteed to have better results than what we have now. I guarantee that. Now, why do I say that? As an educator of 34 years, I will tell you, and the two principals that are here will tell you. The principal from Wesco, she comes from LA Unified as well. She knows the primary centers there. And the primary centers there were built for different reasons. They were built because they couldn't build schools fast enough. They needed to relieve overcrowdedness, so they built them on a small land because they didn't have the same requirements if they were small schools, right? But all of a sudden, we saw the Richard Reardon Primary Center, did we not? And what did we see? Scores went up because the teachers focused on very specific standards and tasks. So here's what I'm saying to the board. If we want to do this thorough, we wait a year. At that point, we react to state. Okay? That's what I want you to weigh. Okay? I recognize that taking time to research everything, to bring everybody into the loop, that's the best way of doing things. Okay? But I don't want to say to anybody here that you're going to get all of these answers that are just going to be so overwhelmingly convincing. Okay? You're not. People are going to hear both, there are some definite challenges, and boy, there are some advantages. And as a group, we're going to have to decide what's best for kids. So, you know, we will bring you that information. I would like for the board to set some kind of, in their own minds and out loud, some kind of timeline so that we know and we can let the public know when the official decision, when you will feel comfortable with that. You know, and if you want to do that as we go along, then that's what we will say to the public. So, I mean, whatever you want in terms of time.
Well, I actually just wanted to finish my original comments, if that's okay. What I'd like to do, if you can, and the superintendent says it's guaranteed, then obviously there has to be some place where they change schools and they can show a student achievement growth. I mean, there has to
guaranteed
be someplace.
Here, Mr. Spence.
There has to be
here.
Someplace.
Not where, someplace in
excuse me.
Land.
Excuse me.
Here.
Excuse me. I really just want to finish my thought, please. There has to be someplace where we've been able to see some kind of growth. If these models don't show growth when they're switched to them, then it makes me wonder how we'd be able to replicate something that has never happened. I don't believe in that kind of fantasy. And so that's what I'm looking for from staff is to show where we've switched, where it's switched, and it's shown academic growth. Because I think we really need that, in this particular situation at these schools. And I'd really like to see that. As far as timeline, I think it's up to the rest of the board, obviously, but, you know, I think we should make the decision as soon as possible. Maybe we can see how much of this we can get answered in our next board packet on Friday, and then we can make have a placeholder on the agenda at least for possible approval at our first meeting in May. Because if we're going to do it in June, our June meeting doesn't make any sense, or our last meeting in May. But that would mean that these meetings that take place at the campuses and stuff would have to happen in the next, by May 9th, whatever date it is. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that. But I think it's the sooner we make the decision, the better. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I don't know. Does the board disagree with that?
I'm not answering that. I just have a question. If we wait and we have to react to the state, what types of, and I don't want to call them sanctions, but for lack of a better word, what kind of sanctions will we face?
We will face reconstitution of a school. We will face writing a plan to have different staff, different configurations, different principals, you know, anywhere from different materials, just change altogether. I mean, basically, what they're saying is what there's not working, so change it. And I think by then, it basically becomes very negative in terms of how we do something like this. I know that Ellie spent and Tandy a lot of time researching to bring forward information about, you know, how do we know that a school went up, you know, in terms of becoming a primary center. So do you want to address what you saw in terms of that research?
Well, in the case of La Habra, La Habra has long been...
Yeah, correct.
Noticeable. For example, we looked at some subgroup data for English learners in primary centers. And really, I mean, overwhelming numbers of those students made more than a year of growth in 1 year. It's measured by a certain amount of growth on the self. It was sort of phenomenal of what kind of growth they were making at some of those. So when we looked further into data, though we couldn't compare it like this was the before and this was the after at that school, but when we looked at specific data at that school, there was really some very impressive data, especially at the primary center.
Well, then please include all that in the packet on Friday, and I assume at these meetings, but I think, does anyone object to having an item for approval at our next meeting on the, or approval or decision-making, I should say, based on the data and stuff that people have asked for? At our next meeting? I mean, we could always put it off, but does anyone object to having it on as early as our next meeting?
So making a decision on the 11th?
As a possibility, yeah.
As a possibility.
Yeah, but it needs to be agendized for action.
Right.
You know, we can always delay it, or we can decide to wait a year, we can decide not to do it, we can do all that stuff. Well,
I don't know.
Could do a special board meeting, but I think we need to have time for the parent meetings to take place.
That's why. If we decide, that would give them 3 weeks to meet with the parents and have enough notice.
Well, I thought the parent meetings were going to go on before our meeting. Is that correct, or am I wrong in that?
If there's an interest on the board, we can have the parent meetings before the next meeting and give you that input in terms of the forums. Eileen, were you saying have an in-between meeting, like not the 11th, but somewhere after that?
Right. Well, still have our regular board meeting on the 11th,
yeah.
But have only
a special meeting.
This issue on the 18th so that it gives parents and the principals enough time to meet with parents and get the information out there.
Well, let's just schedule it. We can always do that on the 11th. We can always figure that out if it's not ready. But, we can always do that if we need to. But at this point, let's try to get as much stuff done because I think the earlier the better. So let's try to do it on the 11th. And obviously, if that doesn't work, the board can decide to put it off.
There's no delay. Both of the principals are here. They've clearly heard board direction to talk to their parents.
Well, obviously, the district's going to be doing some of that, too, some of that presentation stuff.
The other thing that's happening is state testing. So the
focus
is on testing. And, you know, again, parents may not be wrapping their brain around the fall.
I think if you tell them their school may change, it might wrap them around. It might wrap them around.
Just think of it this way. It will be another opportunity for the principals to stress the importance of the test.
I was there. Okay, so we will have an agenda item to talk about this for possible action on the 11th, and we can change that, obviously, on the 11th if we want, and we'll have that information in the meantime, and the district will try to do some parent input education meetings in the meantime. Okay, is that okay with everybody? Okay, that's where we're at. Is that anything else you wanted?
That's fine.
Okay, thank you. Item number 10. You took this off consent. Cammie?
Eileen,
you took this off? Item number 10?
Can we take a break?
We are going to go ahead and have a 5-minute break.